We're going to talk about something a little complicated, maybe even a little scary. We're going to talk about adult friendships. I know we have so many conversations about life and relationships, but I don't think we talk enough about how hard it is to make friends as an adult when you're not a kid anymore. And I want to unpack this idea. We're going to call this month's series The Art of Adult Friendships, Exploring Friendships When You're Not a Kid Anymore. Now, if having an adult friendship makes you feel like you're climbing Mount Everest in flip-flops, you are not alone. It is not uncommon for me to have a lot of conversations throughout my weeks where people are always wanting to talk about friendship as an adult. Like when you're not a kid anymore, you don't have these kind of, well, networks or forced interaction with a school or college or some group, and you're kind of out there on your own trying to figure out what is a healthy friendship? What makes a good friendship? Is it time to make more friends, or is it time to let a friendship go? We're going to tackle the lies that we often tell ourselves about friendship, and we're going to replace them with some empowering truths. I'm going to share with you some of my personal insights that have completely changed the game for me when it comes to friendships. These things have helped me navigate a very full life while having deep, rich, really healthy friendships in my life. It's not all perfect, but you know what? It is rewarding. And so let's dive into today's episode. Now, today's episode is the five lies sabotaging your social life. Five lies sabotaging your social life. So we're going to go through these lies, and hopefully one of these will resonate with you and give you the starting point to get better at friendships. The first lie that many of us, myself included, really deal with is the I'm too busy for friends. I'm too busy for friends. Now, we didn't have that lie when we were in like in grade school or when we're young, but as life gets full, life is busy. Life is busy no matter what. Specifically, if you make humans that you have to feed, clothe, and educate and nurture and celebrate, it's busy. And then if you have, you have to work a full-time job and you have employees or you have coworkers, you have aunts and uncles, cousins, friendships, there's so much. And that's not including sports friends that your kids have, like parents of sports or, you know, the office staff at the school. It's just endless. And life gets busy. And this is kind of the mantra that happens as adults. It's, I'm too busy for fill in the blank, and often it's filled in with the word friends. And this belief, this lie, or this myth, I should say, it creates this self-fulfilling prophecy of loneliness. It's like we're too busy to have friends, and yet we need friends to live a rich and full life. You know, it's kind of that I'm too busy for buddies, but guess what? We are all busy. And sometimes the hard truth is that I found myself using my calendar as a barrier to building friendship. It kept me safe. It kept me feeling like I was busy, felt like I was needed, felt like I was known, and yet what I was busy. And there's even a point in my life when I remember thinking, gosh, I wish I could clone myself so that Havlik could go, like the social Havlik can go out for a meal with somebody, and the introvert Havlik can stay home. And like, I wish I could just be at three different places at the same time. And what really happened though, when everything was done, when I was by myself, when there wasn't an event that evening or something to look forward to, I was facing this truth that I was kind of in busy solitude. I like to call it busy solitude, where you're busy, but you're alone. And that is really challenging. You see, the truth is, sometimes we can burn the candle at both ends, that it leaves no light for friendship. There's no room to put a friend in there. And often we're so busy that we want to kind of add friends as an addendum, or, you know, we'll just shove that friendship in there. And really, it doesn't it doesn't last. It doesn't work that way. So for some of us, and I'm just as guilty, we often use our schedules as a fortress to keep us safe, to keep us too busy, to be vulnerable, to actually build really healthy friendships and put ourselves out there again. You know, there's something about building a new friendship where you got to put yourself out there. And that means you're vulnerable to getting rejected. It means you're vulnerable to being excluded. And that's hard. And so instead of acting like it's no big deal, it's better to actually be honest that this is going to be a little hard. This is going to be challenging. And I'm going to have to learn to do that. But often when we're so busy, it leaves our lives, it leaves our minds feeling like we can't cram one more book on that shelf, that our life is so filled with things that there's no more room for the stories of our friendships. There's no more room for the stories of our friends' marriages or their pain or their joy. And honestly, it's so sad because it's just not true. Like, we can meticulously organize our time, and yet, ironically, our connections, well, we can't meticulously organize our connections because often the connections that are the best are the ones we don't schedule. Like, that's the irony of it all. That often in a relationship, you can't schedule intimacy. You can't schedule connection. You can't schedule being available at the right time when they need you. Friendship is a little messy. It's sometimes crammed into a busy schedule or busy life. And it's those connections that we didn't schedule that often mean the most. And it's the ones that we miss that we think, oh, I'll get another time. We actually end up hurting ourselves. You know, neglecting friendships isn't the best use of our time. I know it sounds funny, but when we keep thinking we have time for that friendship later, what we'll end up having is a very busy schedule, but not a very deep life. Very full life, but not a deep life. And so one of the lies that I had to really understand that was sabotaging me was the word "I'm too busy" was often a sign that I was too busy to navigate and to intentionally show up and be authentic and vulnerable and transparent. And well, with the idea that somebody can hurt me. They did a study on people that say they're too busy. And the truth is, we've all heard it said, we have as much time on the earth as everybody else. It's true. But how do some people get it done and some people don't? They said the word "I'm too busy" is often, it's often a phrase we use to cover the phrase "I don't know how." And so many of us go, "I'm too busy for friendship." But really what we're saying is, "I don't know how to get new friends. I don't know how to be a friend. I don't know how to navigate this season." When I'm in my 30s, I'm in my 40s, I'm in my 50s, I'm in my 60s or 70s, and I have to try to figure out friends? Is this where we are? Well, listen, you are not alone. You are not alone. It is not something you're missing. It's something that we often believe we're too busy, and it ends up creating that self-fulfilling prophecy of loneliness. So the first thing you have to say is, "I'm not busy, I'm scared. I'm not busy, I don't know how. I'm not busy, I don't know how to risk, but I'm going to risk." And that's really important. So if we're talking about friendships and adult friendships, if you are hiding behind a busy schedule, you're hiding behind a social post schedule, you're hiding behind all of your kids' activities, but you feel like you're missing something, you want a good friendship, you want a connection, well, you might be guilty of hiding behind a schedule, hiding behind a busy life, but not having an abundant life, a rich life. And that's something we're going to unpack. All right, lie number two, it's too late to make new friends. We're going to debunk the myth that friendship has an expiration date. I don't know if it's the show Friends or kind of this idea that we should all have like the six of our best friends in our early 20s and they should last with us through the rest of our life. And, you know, friendship is this crew that we walk with and we live with and we are all in each other's weddings and we have each other's babies. I mean, it's like we have this idealistic idea, but the truth is that friendship is not that simple. Friendship is complicated. Sometimes friendship can end without you wanting it to end. Sometimes your, well, your economic season or your relational season or your parenting season can actually remove you from a friendship that you love and want time for, but it's not in the season that you're in. And I love what someone once said about friendship. Well, first, friendship is like a bouquet of flowers. If you have the exact same flower, yes, it's beautiful, but friendship was never meant to just be roses. It was meant to have a bouquet of flowers that are unique, that add flavor and fragrance and uniqueness to your life. So I always think it's, well, I'm always amazed at people that get stuck in that friendship circle of, you can be my friend if you look like me, act like me, have the same interests, have the same income, have the same skin color, like whatever it might be in your life. And we just miss out on the opportunity to have diversity of friendship. When I was 18, one of my best friends was in her 30s. When I was 14, one of my best friends was in her early 20s, and they were in my wedding, they were at my baby's birth. I just think you miss out on so much when you categorize friendships as a certain age, demographic, person, personality. And really, it's about the people you want to add into your life that create a depth and a beauty that you cannot have by just being around yourself. Someone once said we need three types of friendships. We have friendships that are for a lifetime, and then there are friendships that are for a season or friendships for a reason. It looks like this. There are friends that are going to be with you all the way through. They're going to be those lifelong friends. They are rare. They are special. They are unique. And let me tell you, if you have found one or two or three, you are a very fortunate person, because lifelong friendships are just beautiful. And they are friendships that represent perseverance. It represents love. It's really amazing. But then there's friendships for seasons. You know, when I had my littles, four boys under the age of five, a lot of my friends had littles, and they had a lot of littles, because then I could be normal. You know, like I didn't have to, you know, my kids weren't coming in and all clean and proper, and the meal wasn't made in these cute little containers. I needed other parents that were chaotic like I was, that didn't mind boys and yelling and punching and sliding downstairs. So I looked for friends that were in my season. It allowed me to enjoy my life and allowed me to enjoy their life, because I had permission to be in that season just as they did. And it's just awesome when that happens. And so some of those friendships are going to actually go away as the season changes. And I think a lot of us get hurt, or we feel like we're doing something wrong when the landscape of our friendship shifts, and yet we're not doing anything wrong. They're seasonal. They were there for a season, and it's okay to let that go, or to let that be, have more distance than you prefer, because it's seasonal. Hey there, listeners. Today, we're touching on a topic close to the hearts of many: the future of our high school seniors. With college costs skyrocketing, and a noticeable gap in Christian values and practical spirit-led education, it's time to think about school differently. That's why I want to tell you about Bethel School of Technology, a place where faith and tech intersect, offering courses in UI, UX design, full stack development, data science, and cybersecurity. Perfect for those fresh out of high school, or for anyone looking to pivot into a fulfilling tech career. Now, Aiden, a Bethel School of Technology alumni, said, "As a high school senior graduating in 2020, I had to rethink my college plans. And now at the age of 19, I now work as a full stack developer. With the Bethel School of Technology's online course, I was able to work at my own pace. I really enjoyed the faith-based learning environment with classmates sharing a similar worldview, believing that God is moving in technology today. With Bethel Tech, not only can you secure a job with an average starting salary of over $70,000, but you also will become a part of a community that champions Christian values in the tech industry. Head over to HavilandCunnington/Bethel Tech to learn more and apply. That's HavilandCunnington/Bethel Tech to find out more." And then we have friendships for reasons. And this was really important to understand too. I remember when I was diagnosed with postpartum depression, my OBGYN was a born-again Christian and my counselor slash therapist was a born-again Christian. And we had real friendships, and both those women helped me really make it through that really dark, dark season. And they were real friends, authentic friends, and yet they were there for a reason. They were there to help me recover from clinical depression, and they became part of my story, and I love them, but they're not lifelong friends. They're lifelong people I respect that can call me if they need me, but they're not going to be, you know, sitting around my birthday dinner table in 20 years because they were there for a reason. So it's really important to understand your friendships and even do an audit to say, who are my lifelong friends? Who are my seasonal friends? And who are my reason friends? And maybe I've gotten them a little mixed up, which is complicating my life as an adult, and that's okay. Can any of those turn into lifelong friends? Absolutely. But when we take a friendship that's seasonal or a friendship that is there for a reason, and we put the demand on them that they're lifelong, that's when we start to change the ecosystem and they can feel it. I also want to say there's a desperate energy when you meet someone and you're there because of a season or a reason, and you feel this desire to be a lifelong friend. And they're saying phrases and they're talking to you like you've been friends forever and that this is what you're going to be. And it almost feels like demanded intimacy or demanded connection, when really it's just going to have to grow into that. Lifelong friendships take time. And it usually looks like breaking up a little bit and seeing if they stick around, seeing if it really is going to be there. And so for many of us, we think, well, you know, I'm too late to make friends. I had my lifelong friends and, you know, I don't have enough, and now I'm at this age. And we're missing the point that there are friends right now that are available because it's the same season that you're in. And there are other friendships that are available for different reasons, whether you want to help somebody or they want to help you, or you want to champion a cause together. That's really important. Don't get stuck in the my friend must be like me trap. It is a lie. And it will keep you from really beautiful, authentic friendships. I think about the two friends, C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien, their friendship. And I love it because here they were, these incredible writers. They had this deep faith, and they were part of this group called the Inklings. And this group would meet together and they would talk about theology and psychology, and they would get together as writers, and they would really have deep conversations. And they ended up writing classics like Lord of the Rings or the Chronicles of Narnia, but their bond was really powerful. And I loved what C.S. Lewis said about friendship. He said, friendship is the what? You two? I thought it was only me. That's what friendship is. What? You two? I thought it was only me. And here they were, two very unique men, and yet their friendship, they were not competitors. They ended up being comrades because they were able to go together and live together in their own worlds, but celebrate each other. So can we just identify that lie that you're too busy to make friends is a self-fulfilling prophecy of loneliness? You got to get rid of that. All right. The next lie that we want to look at is the idea that nobody understands me. The third lie, nobody understands me. The assumption that prevents vulnerability. You see, if the lie is, I'm an acquired taste, you know, I'm not for everybody, you know, I'm just unique. The truth is that it ends up keeping you from putting yourself out there. It ends up making others kind of, well, against you rather than for you. And the truth is, you're not a rare wine. Like, I love you. You're incredible. You're unique, but you're a human just like everybody else. And humans need each other, and everybody has one or two humans for them. And so the goal is that when we say nobody understands me, it causes there to be a breach of being honest and authentic and vulnerable with others. So how do we get over that lie? Well, we have to understand that opening up is the key. You will not have real friendships unless you actually open up and tell them what you need. I was thinking about this many years ago, gosh, almost 10 years ago. I was in a season like no other. I had lifelong friends, but I also was in this season where I was in a new city. I had a new job. the landscape of my relationships really changed. And so I had friendships that were there for reasons and seasons that were not there anymore. And I joined a small group. And this small group, I remember talking to the Lord about this because this group had been meeting and I wanted to be included in this group. But there's also a couple other women that I was around that I said, gosh, we could do a small group and we could connect. And I remember asking the Lord, you know, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to join a pre-existing group or do you want me to start a group? And I was a leader. I always started groups. I always had people in my home. I really valued the idea of being inclusive rather than exclusive. But I remember asking God and he said, you know, Havilah, you're in a season when you need to be known and you're so, your life is so full and you're on the road. When you come home, it's not a season to pour into people. It's a season to be connected with peers. And so it took me a while to open up my heart. I remember saying things like, nobody understands my life, or I'm just really busy, or, you know, I've got a different kind of call on my life. And all of those were true, but they tended to kind of cover up the reality that I didn't want to be vulnerable. I didn't have the capacity to maybe let others see into the darker parts of my heart or my mind or my choices. And I really remember almost fighting for my life in a way of saying, no, I have to be known by others. I have to put my heart and my life on the line. And it's as safe as it's going to get, but I have to be in friendship. And I remember many times crying with them and saying, I don't know how to do this. I want to do this, but I'm scared. And I don't know how to tell you these things without wondering if you're going to judge me or shame me or hurt me. And of course, they lovingly would open their arms and like let me share and cry with me and hug me and tell me I'm okay. And it was beautiful. But that kind of lie that nobody understood me was something I really battled. And I think it kept me from deep friendships for many years, or it kept me from, well, allowing people to understand me differently than maybe I wanted them to perceive me. So yes, you are a hidden gem. I'm a hidden gem. But the truth is no one's going to understand us or see us or experience us unless we let them see behind the curtain, unless they understand. You might be a beautifully complex novel, right? But in the world that we live in, you're often judged by your cover. But to be understood, you have to let somebody delve into the pages of your life to let them see you and hear you. And you have to be willing to risk. So it's very important to understand that in order to be understood, it's like you're giving your friends a piece of the puzzle. Here's a piece. Here's a piece. Here's a piece. And you want to see, do they hold that piece well? Are they kind to that piece? Did they keep that piece private or did they keep it protected? And if so, then you give them another piece. So I see a lot of times people try to have these friendships and they want to dive in and tell them every deep, dark thing in their life. They want to give them the full story and every emotion and every heart thing. And the truth is, no one deserves that. Like, unless somebody earns the sacredness of your story, unless somebody is willing to sit with you and allow you the safety to open up over time, then you giving them that piece of your story is actually, the Bible says, casting pearls before swine. And so it's important that we don't just jump in with both feet and say, I'm just transparent and vulnerable and I'm jumping into friendship. But we actually, as a wise person, we go, does this person have the capacity to take care of what I'm about to give them, which is a relationship, which is a friendship, which is the season of my life? And so do that slowly. Open up slowly. But then once you open up, after opening up, open up broadly. Go as deep as you can. Let them in as you open up, because that's where real friendships happen. That's the beauty of it. So again, good things come to those who wait, but friendship is also with no exception. You know, it's going to take a while to get a good friendship. And sometimes people that I've been in friendship with, initially I think, this is not my friend. Like, we have nothing in common. There's no way that we're going to be friends. And I have been dead wrong so many times that now I'm at the stage of my life where I will not allow myself to make a judgment until I have a season with them, until I'm with them for a while to see, is there a real friendship here? And so it's very important that we allow it to take take shape. And then there's other people that I have thought, this is a lifelong friend, it's gonna be amazing. And then it's almost like a spark. It goes really fast and then it fades really quick. So it's important that we take the time it needs to build good friendships. But if all we do is sit on the outside saying we're unique, nobody can get to know us, well, then we'll be unique alone. And loneliness will hurt us more than anyone exposing our secrets or knowing our secrets. So it is very true that you are unique, but you shouldn't be unique enough in adult friendships to not be known. All right, fourth lie, fourth myth that we have that's sabotaging our social lives is I don't need friends, right? I don't need friends. And this is a lie because as we explore the impact of isolation on our mental health, on our spiritual health, on every level, we find that we definitely need friends. It's not just my idea. It's not our culture. It is God's idea. In fact, the Bible says that he puts lonely in a family. He puts people together. And it's important that we are in community, that we are in a relationship. And so I think it's really important that when someone claims, I don't need friends, it's like saying, I don't need sunlight if you're a plant. It's like saying, you know, I can live in darkness. And yet we all know you cannot grow without sunlight. You have to have sunlight. And so it's very important that we act like we don't need friends, and yet we end up creating an independence that really sets itself up for loneliness. And so it's like a box that's left unopened. The story of your life, well, it never gets opened and no one gets enriched by the sharing of the experiences that you have, the stories or the relationships that you have. So it's really important that this idea, I don't need friends, is actually a recipe for loneliness. It's a recipe for finding false friendships in like online, in social media, in books. And none of those are real relationships. I'm sorry, but a book is not a real relationship. A social media post is not a real relationship. A relationship is face-to-face. It's getting to know somebody. I don't mean face-to-face in person, but I'm saying there's a being known. There's a beauty of being human together and connecting in that way. And so no man should be an island. We're not created to be on an island. And what we see is a lot of the pain that happens in people's stories is that they isolated themselves. They thought they were above needing friendships. They were above needing peers. And the truth is you need peers. You need it. And if you don't have peers, then you are either self-righteous, you are arrogant. I know I have Liz calling it out, but it's true. Or you are deeply insecure and you're hiding it under the I don't need friendships. And that is not true. You need friendships. Now, if you're saying that because you've been treated poorly, and I get that, then be honest with yourself. You know, I have been hurt. Friendships have been disappointing. They've been painful, but I can't live without friendships. So I'm going to heal as much as I can. I'm going to become the person that I need in my life. And I'm going to risk again, because without risk, there is no reward. And friendship is a reward. All right. Last lie that we often believe, the myth, is all good friendships should feel easy, right? Like we believe the best relationships should require no effort. It should just be effortless. It should feel like it was natural. It was just normal. It was like nothing mattered. It just happened. Lies. How many of you remember your first crush? You thought, it's effortless. It was so easy. Oh my gosh. And aren't you glad you didn't marry them? Aren't you glad that wasn't your person? Well, it's the same with friendships. If we believe the lie that friendship should be effortless, you will not have friends, or your friends will be it'll be such a small network that your friends will end up being like you. It won't be true. And you know, there's even studies that show that if you never have a disagreement in a relationship, you never have a challenge, somebody challenges you with a thought, it's because one of you isn't showing up. Now, I'm not saying you need to be yelling at each other or forceful, but I'm saying there has to be a little bit of good tension in a friendship. When someone says, I think this, and someone else says, I don't know if I think that, that's good. That's good for the soul. It's good for the mind. And it shows you that you're both showing up authentically for each other. So this idea that there should be no struggle is a lie. That really, oftentimes, real friendship has endured really, really difficult times. Friendships often endures tears and pain and grief and sadness and forgiveness and restoration. Sometimes friendship can be like climbing a mountain, and it can feel hard, and it can feel like, I don't know if I can climb this mountain. But when you get to the top, you see how far you've come, and you see what's possible with determination, with a right heart, with forgiveness, and it's beautiful. So again, if every friendship is just a desert, it's just a flat land, well, you'll never really know how far you've come. You'll never know if it can stand the test of time. Friendships are like mountains. We climb them, we get to the top, and then we know there's going to be seasons of valleys that we're going to walk through again. And it's okay. We're not doing anything wrong. This is what real friendship looks like. So I think it's really important that we get that lie out of our hearts that friendship should be easy. And if there's effort, that I'm doing something wrong. No, that's not true. Some of my best relationships have a lot of contentious moments. There are times when it is a battle, and I do go, I don't want to be friends with you because I don't like what you said to me, or I don't like that you talked to me this way, or you said this about whatever. And then I have to check my heart and say, no, this is good for me. I need to hear how other people think, what other people say, and I need to have ears to hear. So let's go through these quick five lies that are sabotaging your social life. Number one, the lie that I'm too busy for friends is really how we create a belief system that becomes self-fulfilling, the self-fulfilling prophecy of loneliness. I'm too busy for friends often means I don't know how to do it. And so I challenge you that it's time to actually stop blaming your schedule and start finding a little bit of time to connect. Even if it's just a small window, give them that time. The second lie is that I'm too late to make friends. Well, we need to debunk the myth that friendship has an expiration date. It doesn't. Stop. That's just a false lie that society has given us. And there is no expiration date on your age, on your marital status, on whatever might be in your life. Friendship is about two people coming together. And I like how C.S. Lewis said it. The what, you two, I thought it was only me. That's what real friendship is. Number three, the lie that nobody understands me. The assumption that you're better, or maybe you're too complicated for the average person. Well, it honestly, that assumption is what prevents vulnerability and a depth of being known and seen and heard. The fourth lie is I don't need friends. And that is really exploring the impact of self-isolation on mental health. You need friends. If you don't need friends, or you don't have friends, then I challenge you to actually understand that maybe you are battling with something deeper than just I don't want friends or I don't need friends. You probably are dealing with some pain that has put up a wall that's not allowing you to have friends. And it's time to go to work to unpack that. And then lastly, the last myth is all good friendships should feel easy. Well, here's the truth. The best relationships often require effort, and that's okay. It's okay to have effort and friendship, and there's an effort and there's a struggle, and that's normal. And so again, it's important that we don't claim that easy friendships should be like walking, you know, on an easy path, when really many friendships are like mountains that we climb and we scale and we succeed and we walk together in it. All right, you guys, that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed our adventure as we kind of walked around the idea of adult friendships. And right here on Have Less Podcast, we are going to explore this idea, for the entire month, the art of adult friendships. Thank you for sticking with me. And I hope we were able to tackle those kind of pesky lies, those things that kind of hang out in your mind that keep you from having fulfilling friendships. I hope we're able to swap them out and really get to some truth. I hope that that's helped you. I know that this is going to be a great series. And if you ever felt like making friends is hard as an adult, good. You're in good company. This is what we're doing. And guess what? It's all about taking that first step. It's about taking that leap. It's about pushing those boundaries and challenging the stories that you tell yourself. And remember, the right friends are out there waiting for you. So don't miss my next episode, where we dive deeper into life's messy, beautiful, and utterly human moments. And we're going to discover, next week, we're going to talk about the five truths you need to tell yourself instead. Those five truths you need to tell yourself instead to have great friendships. All right, you guys, that's it for now. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and we'll talk soon.